This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Friday night's review of SmackDown on Wrestling Inc. Have we got a show for you? We're asking all the big questions here, like, can Cody Rhodes trust Kevin Owens? Can anybody beat the big three? And should they put locks on barbershop doors? We're going to get into all of that. But before we do, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, award-winning host and most beloved part of Wrestling Inc., along with this guy, Flobo.
Hey, I literally have awards in the background. I mean, come on. I won and bought those things too. First of all, you're not Glenn Rubenstahl. What gives? I don't know what you're doing here. 2 weeks in a row, 2 Fridays in a row. Kind of odd.
Yeah, I don't know either. I just get the call, you know, and I answer the call. What happens is in Wrestling Inc. Meadow, what they do is they grab a giant seashell, and when they need someone, they just go, boom. And I turn, I go, I'm needed.
How many seashells are there in Meadows?
Listen, I don't know how Wrestling Inc. Meadow works. It's a weird place, Flobo.
Oh, apparently. Things don't even add up. Yeah, you know, Wrestling Inc. Beach. I make an igloo where
I don't know. I something about the way Wrestling Inc. Mountain and Wrestling Inc. Tower look over stuff. I don't know.
I never get invited to these places. I'm staying in my bedroom the entire time. Meanwhile, the Mets are down 3-0. I'm upset.
So let's good news all around. It was a
no,
great day.
This is terrible news. They're in San Diego, and I'm stuck with you.
This is San Diego, a great place to get COVID. But that's going to get me canceled.
That should be a T-shirt.
I went there and I got COVID. I'm not making fun of the city.
It sounds like you are, though. You said a great place to get COVID. I'm unfortunate circumstance. You said, no, it's a great place.
I'm trying to say is, if you're going to get it, you might as well get it in a great place.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah. Imagine like in a bus depot or something. That would suck.
I am going to get canceled. Sorry, San Diego. Didn't mean to say that, but hey, it's a live mic. And we like talking on live mics, Flobo. In fact, we do it all the time. We do it on this show during the week, but this time we have a special date. On Sunday, we're going to talk all about AEW All In after the show. Everyone said, we want Wrestling Inc. to cover pay-per-views and PLEs. And we said, you know what? I don't know if we should do this. But then we heard the seashell. But
there go, is okay, no, I guess, or I Meadow, guess we, or Tower.
I guess we got to go. So how do you get notified? Is it does a pigeon fly in with a note wrapped around it?
I wish it was that whimsical.
Or is it a bat?
it's usually a Slack message being like, hey, you up, bro? And I'm like, no, it's 3 a.m. Pacific. Tough, you're working tonight. Okay.
I assumed you had a phone with a giant red light on the front of it that illuminated whenever they needed to.
Does it call? Let's go to cops or Domino's. It calls wrestling.
Man, we got a lot to get into. We already got a bunch of folks here in the chat. Glad to see all of you. And if you're lurking, glad to.
Oof, I saw that. Poor Chris, but the Jags. Oh, my heart goes out to you, man. I used to live out there. They were terrible then.
Yeah, not a Jags fan myself. Seahawks fan, as you can tell by the old school jersey I got up there. But man, we got a lot of folks already chatting. We're going to get, I feel like getting feisty today. I got a few argumentative things for Flobo. So we're going to get into those things. But first, we got some news, some big news. And I usually stay to WWE stuff, but this is a pretty big piece of news that just broke.
I'll be the judge of that, how big it is.
According to Fightful Select, Ricochet has inked a multi-year agreement with AEW with the help of an agent. Furthermore, he is figured into upcoming AEW shows, beginning with a potential appearance at AEW's biggest pay-per-view of the year, All In. Already speaking about this, Will Ospreay said, if it's true and he's coming to AEW, I'm calling you out to remind everybody who the F you are, bruv. Flobo. Big news, Ricochet, All Elite. We're going to see the graphics soon.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't believe you, but that is pretty huge. I mean, Ricochet, it's kind of the highest priced free agent. And I will say this, between Open Doors and Forbidden Windows, there aren't many high priced free agents around on that level. Here is somebody who's a former number one contender to the WWE Championship. You know, that's something you can't take away from him. And yes, Ricochet and Ospreay, they're great dance partners. It's already been setting up, man. It's a win-win all around.
This is a real question. Maybe, I don't know if you know or anyone in the chat knows, is can he use the name Ricochet, or is he going to go to something different?
I would go to something different, right?
You would if you had the rights to Ricochet?
I assume, and I don't know their legal things, but I assume he signed during the time where you had to give that part of your name up. Maybe it's a deal, but who knows?
Well, that's what I mean. I wonder, is he able to... I wonder if he's able to use it.
Would you prefer him to be using it?
Yeah, if he can. I mean, that's his name. That's how we know him.
True.
And then, I don't know, he can't be Prince Puma. You know, so...
Spoiler!
Some people still don't know what's under that mask, Jack. I don't know what that rule is. Hopefully he was able to keep the name, but if he doesn't, I don't know. Maybe he'll... I'd hate it, but I'd love it if he did the old Rick O'Shea thing, you know, the R-I-C-K.
Right, he's Irish now. He's just coming out.
Yeah, he comes out with the shillelagh. So Secular Belt saying, Punk used his name, so did Regal, RVD, and others. But that was a different era. They kind of go through phases, right, Flobo, where they're like, we're signing everyone's name to... you can keep it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, because I feel like when Ricochet was signed, they made a point when he first got to NXT to do his like real name with Ricochet in quotations. It looked like it was going to be something to be named later, and they went, forget it, to your point. So I don't know. I have no idea. Okay, Donde Estas, smart. Thank you.
Yeah, Adonde says, I think he trademarked it, fellas. Armando saying he trademarked King Ricochet.
This is why you're the best fans in the business. Coming here live, smarting us up, making our jobs easier. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, I mean, not even fans. You guys are all co-hosts as far as I'm concerned.
Whoa. I can't share my pay with these people. I don't know who these people are.
Co-hosts. It's going to get divided pretty small.
Whoa.
Jose says Vince isn't in charge anymore. I think he kept his name. I don't think – I mean – obviously, he was the boss, but I mean, this is a legal thing and a trademarking thing. I don't know if that's necessarily just one guy's decision here. Jeffrey says, your wrestling show is a great show. I am a big WWE fan, I'm assuming was supposed to be added there.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
We'll see. What's his real name? I can't remember.
Is it Terrence Mann? Trevor Mann. It's Trevor Mann. Check it out.
Trevor Mann?
Yeah.
I mean, Ricochet is going to be a tough name to be. Ricochet is a cool name for a pro wrestler.
It is. I mean, have you seen Mucha Lucha? That cartoon was dope.
Chris Brick says he keeps his name. So hopefully,
wait, answer the question. Have you not seen Mucha Lucha?
I never watched Mucha Lucha. No.
What? Mucha? I mean, with Buena Girl and Da Flea, like that show was dope, bro. Like the song was great too.
Look, it was one of those things. I said I'm going to add it to the list, and you know what that means.
Everyone has
it
a means list, it's right?
In a black hole of names of shows I'm never going to watch.
But it was a cartoon, so I figured that would have been quick, right? Everyone could do like when someone's to watch a movie, you're like, yeah, I'll get to that. But a
I still got
like,
Walking Dead on my list somewhere.
Yeah, that's a show. I mean, cartoons are always like. I'm eating some cereal right now. Mucha Lucha. All right.
Fair. I think I still have Disenchanted. I got to catch up on.
Don't waste your time.
Everyone says that. That's why I don't.
It's like Simpsons, Futurama.
Oh, man. I'm watching the new episodes of Futurama. No one cares, but I care. That's my favorite show of all time. Futurama. New episodes. I get giddy. I'm like savoring the new episodes because I don't want to run out of them.
Wow. Look at you affording Hulu with the flex. Okay, rich brother. All right. No, that's fine.
No big deal. Hulu.
No big deal. Yeah, pay monthly.
So everyone, let me know what your thoughts are on Ricochet and what you think is going to happen with him in AEW. Would you like to see him at All In? Who would you like to see him have some matches with? All that good stuff. Would love to see your projections there in the chat and in the comments on YouTube.
And we got to know how you feel about Mucha Lucha because that show was hilarious.
Yeah, I love Mucha Lucha. Great show. backstage update on John Cena's contract status has been revealed on Club Shay Shay. John Cena was asked whether he owns the rights to his name in light of Dwayne Johnson finally securing the rights to The Rock when he signed on with TKO board of directors. John Cena said, "I am a champion of the brand. I love the company. It is my home. They are my family." Even after 2025, went on to say that it is for the long-term future he is with WWE. Flobo, got a feeling that means that he, I don't know if he signed officially a contract, it's like a Legends contract or something like that, but I'm sure that they have locked him up for as long as he's going to be making movies anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a smart move for all parties involved. Like it's fun to look at it now because I know we were a certain age post-Attitude Era, post-WCW, where we're like, John Cena's was everything's wrong with modern wrestling, but we've been here long enough to see him grow to be that Hulk Hogan character for something else. It'll foreshadow. But the thing about John Cena is he was never in trouble. He never did anything crazy. He just kind of went to work and besides a failed marriage or two, just pretty much did his own thing. So the fact that he's able to pay that loyalty back and get that money back for doing that, then why not, you know?
I always say John Cena is the greatest signing in the history of pro wrestling for that reason. I mean, not only we can talk about what he did in the ring and the sales and the star power and all that, but I mean, even the fact that he's, you know, like Make-A-Wish Foundation, a champion for the brand. I mean, in every way, shape, and form, he's knocked out of the park for 20 years. Like, I don't know who else stands up to that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And not a problem to me, but I remember when I was a kid, my next door neighbor's parents wouldn't let my friend get like action figures of guys with tattoos. It was a big thing for people out there. And John never got them. He was like all super clean cut, you know, America's hero. Kind of cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. John Cena, one of the best. I think him getting signed for a long period of time makes absolute sense. We got a few predictions for Ricochet to kind of come back. Cost Will Ospreay against MJF. Risky move to bring him in as a bad guy. Ricochet versus Samoa Joe, Ricochet versus Swerve. Ricochet really is someone who could have a list of great matches. And even the people who aren't necessarily the big names yet, the Kyle Fletchers out there. I mean, he's going to have so many fun matches there. We'll see what story-wise where that fits in, but that's a whole other conversation. Yeah.
Wow. As a performer, I wonder if he has a character or a storyline he always wanted to do but never got the chance. You know, it'd be kind of cool if he came out with a different interpretation of what Ricochet is. That would be the perfect time.
Now I'm thinking of all these things that are absolutely ridiculous for him to come out as, like the blue blood Ricochet,
like the Curran White Ricochet.
Yeah, or just totally random. Like, what? That was what he always wanted to do.
Finally, yeah.
Yeah, like, funny enough, good. I always wanted to be Ricosaurus. So Luchasaurus and I are
the switch.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff there for Ricochet. But you mentioned Hogan, and you mentioned foreshadowing. We're talking shadows cast, talking about Hulk Hogan here.
Oh yeah,
Hulk Hogan recently was promoting his new beer, Real American Beer, in Medina, Ohio, and according to the report, a 50-year-old woman was struck by a beer can at the event, which came from the stage. Report further claimed it occurred at 5:30 p.m. and that the can was thrown so hard she was knocked to the ground. Allegedly, some witnesses claimed it was Hogan himself who threw the can. However, other witnesses claimed one of Hogan's crew members tossed the can like a baseball pitch instead. Due to the conflicting reports, no one was arrested or charged, but the woman had to get 9 stitches after the fact. On top of this, more bad news for the Hulkster. Director Todd Phillips confirmed he's no longer attached to the Hulk Hogan movie that they're making starring Chris Hemsworth. Lobo, Hulk Hogan is a he's someone that isn't quite as fun to talk about as he probably was back in the day.
Why do you say that, Jack?
For passing the buck?
Why do you say that, Jack? Please, can you explain? let's be real, man. John Cena would never. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, Hulk Hogan is a hero for a lot of people. And for me, I got into wrestling in 93, and I'm a WWE guy, so he had already left. So he's not as close to me. So I have myself a little bit of a layer of detachment. But for a lot of people, he was a symbol of wrestling. And I always say, if you tell someone off the street to give me an impression of a wrestler, it's usually, you know, let me tell you something, brother, it's Hogan. As someone who is approaching the, not me, not you, but me, I'm approaching the ripe old age of 40, it is quite weird to see Hulk Hogan in these situations, going to political rallies in character, for example. And that's why I kind of like was okay with tuning it out. But someone got hurt this week and allegedly got hurt, excuse me. And that's why it's coming to light. So I would say this. If you were a fan of Hulk Hogan as a kid, there's nothing wrong with having those memories. Nothing wrong with having those moments. I think it's okay to separate Hogan when you were a child to what Hogan is doing now. And secondly, I think Chris Hemsworth would have killed it, though, man. I'm kind of bummed about that. That movie would have slapped.
Dude, Chris Hemsworth, that's got to be gutting. Like, I don't know if the movie's done or if Todd Phillips is just done. By the way, Adonde, comment of the night so far, says Todd Phillips was like, that's not going to work for me, bro.
He did due date. Are you kidding me?
I can't remember where I was originally trying to come into this conversation, but Hulk Hogan, for the record for me, was one of my all-time favorites. And I always say that two of my all-time favorite moments in pro wrestling have Hulk Hogan attached to them. My favorite story in pro wrestling, the NWO, has Hulk Hogan attached to it. And I tried to hide from his former controversy, but eventually...
Wait, which one was that?
The one where he was saying a lot of
N words. Sorry. I'm sorry. In all honesty, it was like so many. I didn't know what you're referring to.
I tried to hide from, but eventually I heard it and I was like, this is the most horrible thing. And there's in a way that is absolutely unredeemable. I'm always, we talk into a live microphone for a living, Flobo. So I'm always protective of people accidentally saying something that maybe doesn't come out right. No defense with that. And then I see this, and there's also other stuff that happened at this thing. And so this is where I stand with Hulk Hogan. Maybe I'm going to divide the fans on old Jack Farmer here, but my memories of Hulk Hogan still special to me because me getting rid of my favorite moments, like Hulk Hogan versus The Rock, which was special for more than just the match to me. I can get into that. That's a whole conversation, but very special to me. That's still a special moment to me, but Hulk Hogan, I'm done with this guy. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him on. I don't want to see him on documentaries. I don't want to see him on countdown shows. I don't want to see him hosting WrestleMania. I'll keep the special moments that are special to me, but I'm done with this dude. I'm done with Hulk Hogan, and everyone can make their own decisions, but it makes my skin crawl when I see him doing events now and things like that. It's a shame and I hate it, but I'm done with this guy.
I feel like, not to compare him to the Undertaker, because I don't think it's the same issues here, but like, the Undertaker did 30 years of wrestling and was able to be Mark Calloway, and he could have his opinions about things. I think for me, the weird part is acting as if you're Hulk Hogan and saying and believing what you're doing. To me, it's kind of weird. Like, I wouldn't. What if Will Shatner was like, "I'm going to use my ray gun and zap you," and you're like, "What? Why?" You know what I mean? But you're right. I think everyone has a right to do that. Everyone's right to say, "Look, we don't wish any harm on you, but we're okay to make a little bit of a distance between you and what you're doing."
Yeah, I just, I don't know if there's anything more to say about the guy. I have a feeling. I mean, I don't know with. When it comes to the movie, I don't know how they planned on it. I don't know how you have that be a feel-good movie at this point without just ignoring a lot of what's happened. But not a fan of the guy anymore. Again, I love that moment of Hogan versus Goldberg. One of my favorite days as a pro wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to see him again. I don't want him voicing over a video package. Don't want him around. Yeah. Done. I'm trying to think of an actor that has a similar thing that I feel that way about, but
you know how I feel about Bubba Ray Dudley, but yeah, I think that's the only time I felt like my heart break, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to hear anything from you ever again.
So that said,
on the positive show.
on the positive show, people always say Jack, you're just positive all the time.
You don't know Jack. I don't mean that to be funny. I mean, literally, you are the most negative. You're so sour.
This is so inside baseball, but you posted a picture of me from AfterBuzz Studios one time on the couch, just with a very unfriendly look on my face.
Yes, I love.
They're asking me to do something I wasn't happy
about. Gordon Gekko? Yeah.
We had to do something I wasn't happy about, and I was like, okay.
I gotta find it again. Remind me of Wrestling Inc. Remind me to post it. I'll do it again.
But we got a lot of great folks here. We got Jane Young in the chat, Killer of Demons, Alicia A, Tommy O, Danny Cochran, J.R. Smith, Laura Rock, Sherrod Jones, Daniel Barry, Andy Hannigan, Jose Topete. I don't know. I say your name wrong every time. How do I say it?
I say Topete.
Topete.
Yeah.
Damn close, right? Lyle Foster's here, Chris Bricks, Blue Chew, Jay Willie, Joe C. Lurkin, Mike Martin declared we are the favorites.
I'll take
that, everybody else. Ricky Sinclair, Secular Belt, Adonde, Armando, and Jeffrey, and stalking you with the little dog emoji. Beer Money and Low Vision Technology hanging out as well. Lots of folks. Anthony Tornado. Haven't seen you around in a while, Tornado. Jose says you're right, by the way.
I'll take it.
By the way, Ryle Levy and Chad W. in the chat. Let's talk about some pro wrestling, Flobo. Let's talk about what happened on SmackDown as we are 1 week away from Bash at Berlin.
Yeah, it's a week from tomorrow.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer with the Wrestling Inc. podcast, and a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately?
He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
We start with the Waller effect. Grayson Waller says that Cody uses his friends, and Cody says, "I'm rubber, you're glue. What bounces off me sticks onto you."
He did not say that.
That was exactly what he said.
No, is that what you swear?
Okay. That's when Grayson Waller shows a video with the receipts for Kevin Owens as someone who turns on his friends. Kevin Owens says, "Let's make it a match." But first, there's a scuffle, and KO bumps Cody. During the match, KOD versus A-Town Down Under. And the story is, can Cody trust Kevin Owens? Turns out he can. KO gets the win for his team, but Cody Rhodes takes a beating in the process. Lots of story beats here, Flobo. I think the outcome was pretty expected, but talk to me about your thoughts on this, and can these two stay friends and still have an interesting match at Bash in Berlin?
Before I answer those really important questions, here's my silly response that has nothing in particular. I think Grayson Waller has one of the more recognizable theme songs that's on a main eventer. Like, as soon as it drops, you know it's Grayson. So shout out to Death Rebel on that one. But you're absolutely right. The can they coexist stuff has been done to death, but I like it here because it really set up like, no, he's going to turn on you. And it's like, no, you got to believe me. And they teased it just enough that you're expecting a super kick. Was it going to happen, or is it going to be even close? That little tease with the title was great. The match itself was fine. The crowd ate it up. It was all great. But I kind of would have wanted that KO thing. I kind of really wanted to be like, hey, look, you know, you believed in me, but I'm still your opponent. You know, no hard feelings. It's just business.
Yeah, I feel like I want the turn to happen. I want them to hate each other. I want this to be a heated thing. Friends wrestling is rarely fun. Now, I'm sure the story is going to happen at Bash at Berlin, but going into the match, it's going to be a good match. I like both guys. I get it. Like, I'm on board. I just don't know if I feel like it's spicy, if it's a hot matchup. You know what I can't imagine this without being like, oh, but Roman could show up. I can't imagine this being a main event kind of matchup. Which is different because Cody Rhodes, I think, has main evented every time since WrestleMania.
It's the biggest prize in the business.
Right. So I don't know. I'll like it. I guarantee I'm going to, you know, on the after show, I'm be like, this wasn't great. I loved it. Ha ha ha. But I don't know why I'm laughing like
why
that.
Why is the Jack Farmer impression like more like a rude version of yourself? I'm Jack Farmer and I like this match. No, I'm with it. I hate the fact that 8 times down under is always the guys are taking the falls and slipping over the anime fields, but someone has to do it. So that part was no tension. So you're looking at what the surprise is going to be. Was someone going to show up? Not really. Was it going to be a turn? Not really. It was two guys standing tall at the end, and that wasn't really satisfying for me. And it came after a fantastic match, so I kind of feel cheated. But I ask you this. The whole idea of this number one contender in Kevin Owens and not really wanting to, but then realizing I have to because I got to step up, it's compelling on paper. But is it working as far as, like, are you – I know you said you weren't, but, like, are you the fans are watching right now? Are you hyped for this matchup in Berlin?
Yeah, that's a good question. Are you guys hyped for the Kevin Owens, Cody Rhodes match? without assuming some extracurricular is going to happen. So if you're excited because you think Roman's going to show up, that doesn't count. You know, that's extra. Are you excited for these two to have a match? Again, the match would be great. I feel like it's not spicy. Two friends having fights aren't fun. It's people who hate each other is what's fun. I do love KO though. I feel like KO deserves more credit than he gets. Especially nowadays with Deadpool being popular, he's very much the Deadpool, I think, of pro wrestling, where
agreed.
You know, he's talking to Nick Aldis. I'm doing it in reverse order. Usually we fight, then the match, but can we just do it now? And super fun. And also, one of my favorite parts of the show was Kevin Owens saying, they don't have adrenaline in their soul.
Yeah. He is a Deadpool. Straight up.
So very fun. A lot of people in the chat, it looks like they're saying they're not super pumped about the matchup. Match is going to be great.
Yeah.
Match is going to be great. Not like Danny Cochran saying, not excited. Cody's better chasing the title rather than being the champ. I think he's been a fantastic champ. This is actually similar to Roman Reigns. I know a lot of Roman Reigns fans don't want to admit it, but most of his matchups that weren't the big four matches shows kind of layups.
Do you count the Saudi shows as big four or layups?
Those are big four. Okay. But near the end, the last year of his reign, we all knew he wasn't losing that title until Mania. So it was very like, okay, it doesn't
really matter. I thought you said Tozawa was going to beat him one time because you were ready for Tozawa.
Well, if Tozawa ever had the opportunity, but right. Backstage politics.
Yeah, that's the reason. I think he's lost every match in the past 2 years, but yeah, the politics.
Speaking of losing every match, Santos Escobar had an opportunity to take the U.S. championship from L.A. Knight. Angel and Birdo attack Knight before the bell and get ejected, as does La Madrina. We get a fun match with L.A. Knight retaining. Phobo, thoughts? I'm a huge Santos Escobar fan. I'm a big L.A. Knight fan. Everyone's an L.A. Knight fan, though. Yeah. Everybody's saying.
Yeah.
Escobar, though, man, this guy can't buy a win.
Cannot. And it's wonder because, you know, that there has to be a winner and loser because you didn't want to have the match be a no contest. And so, you're like, both men need to win. You didn't want LA Knight to lose his first defense after chasing it for so long. And it looks pretty much he has to be the flashy face of that title because the last champion hasn't been mentioned in the past week and a half of WWE programming. So it looked like the LA Knight was going to win. But I've seen this before where someone loses, they get frustrated, and they lose some more, and they get frustrated, and they snap. It works. It's not fun. Losing streaks are never great. And, of course, you now know what Santos Escobar is going to be involved with next because you saw Apollo Crews and Baron Corbin kind of make fun of him afterwards. But, yeah, as the kids say, the aura is gone, man. Like, he's just a guy. And it's not the best time in WWE because they're on fire right now to be a guy.
Yeah, unless you're under a rock. So, yeah, clearly it looks like they're teasing some dissension in the ranks of Legado del Fantasma. If you're the guy with the pen, is it just time to break this group up? They've been around for a long time. I actually like the makeup of the group, but it's clearly not sticking. Is it time to just move on, or do you think they can still save this thing?
You can save this thing, but you're not going to like it. You're not going to like the solution I have, and that is you take them off TV and you give them the vignette treatment and have them not repackaged, but basically restate what they are. Much like what you saw with Meechin and this week's Match Flow brought to you by Progressive. You got to be able to see what Legado is, why is it legend, what's the Phantasma, what's all that stand for, like they did in NXT.
Listen, WWE is sponsored by Match Flow. We are not, so we are not putting
them over. Yeah, you give our money away to our 400 people in the chat.
Until they give our... Until you give us that money.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so one thing that kind of bothered me was the bell rang before they attacked, and they acted like the bell didn't ring. I don't know if that was just a mess up. Not a big deal. I get it. But I was a little bit like, ugh.
I was going to ask you this, because you remember the Attitude Era, because they didn't used to do the in-ring intros for title matches until, like, 10 years ago. It's like, yeah. Do you remember those like Attitude Era championship matches where the champ would just get like beat up before and they're like, I'm the champ, I have to go out and continue, and they kind of fight from underneath? Were you a fan of those growing up?
Sure. I mean, I think they're great for TV, you know, for these kind of things. I I think it helps. So I'm here for it. I like it. I mean, if it was happening on, you know, every pay-per-view or PLE, then I get like, okay, we don't need this. But
right.
When you have a match like Escobar where he's definitely an underdog, you got to do something to kind of make it feel like maybe he's got a shot here. I think this was good for it. I would ask you, how do you like Corbin and Cruz? You like this pairing?
They're fine. They're serviceable. I wouldn't, if someone said, we're going to put Apollo Cruz and Baron Corbin, I'm like, eh. But these are two guys that need each other. I think Apollo needs Baron more. If you notice, Apollo got his first joke in like a year and a half. I was like, hey, he made a funny, which because he didn't have that personality for that long. And Baron Corbin has proven time and time again, he's a Swiss Army knife. And Swiss Army knives can either be overlooked, like a Dolph Ziggler, and you just go out there and then you just like lose matches. Or you could be someone who's there for a long time that have 10, 15, 20 years of like tenure being up and down the card. So if Baron's down to play ball, have them run the tag team division.
Yeah, I would love to see them work together a bit more. What Baron Corbin did with Bron Breakker was incredible in NXT. And if he has the ability to do something like that with Apollo Crews, it could be very big for Apollo Crews. Because we've talked about Apollo Crews before. He's got the toolkit. It's just a matter of getting the opportunity. Yeah. And I think this could be a opportunity for him. Later in the night, LA Knight shuts up Byron, who is very happy and smiley about being told to shut up, which I thought was a little interesting.
It's birthday week. I get it.
But LA Knight has a open challenge for Bash at Berlin, or at least for when they're in Berlin. Who do you think the challenger is going to be? And who do you think LA Knight's first real contender is going to be? If that makes
Ricky
sense.
Starks, man, let's do it. That's right. No, I think it's a little out of bounds. I don't know. To me, it feels like the open challenge is going to be the thing for the next 3 to 6 months, much like the Cena run about 20 years ago. So I don't really have an answer for the long-term thing. But the first person I would say would be, oh, man, I was going to pick Baron Corbin, but now he's with Legado del Fantasma. So I'm not even sure anymore. Maybe Carmelo or Andrade. That's what Corey had alluded to this week. So maybe one of those guys.
Well, you mentioned Carmelo and Andrade. They're, you know, Carmelo Hayes, he's cutting his barbershop promo, about ready to get all cleaned up, look good. And then Andrade just barges in and starts barking at Carmelo Hayes. Flobo, one, I was legitimately caught off guard. This was like when when Seth Rollins broke into the Firefly Funhouse. Like, what? You can't be here. You have no power here, Andrade. What's going on?
I didn't drop a pin. Yeah.
But what the, who does this? You don't just barge in on someone who's about to get a haircut.
That's what I'm saying. This is deplorable. Deplorable actions. I thought it had been a fist fight, but even Carmelo looked a little bit shook, which was interesting because I thought Carmelo would be like, get him out of here. But he's like, turn the locks, get me a prime. I go, oh my gosh, is Andrade in your head, Carmelo? Are you still him? So it worked for everybody, but you're right. We need more locks.
Ricky saying this is some NXT-ish. I do love how the main roster isn't just using talent from NXT, but they are sort of seeing some of the stuff that they're doing production-wise and bringing it onto the main roster and trying it out. I love Carmelo Hayes having the barbershop as his thing. I think it's just a cool thing that stands out. It's different. It's a great way to have him cut promos without him just walking out and talking into a microphone. I'm a big fan of the barbershop. Do you like wrestlers having like kind of their own place that they can do stuff at?
I do. And thanks for Jose for telling me the Mets score. That's not helping me out at all. don't put on the screen. I don't want to see. Down by six.
Let's do this here.
Anyway, I like the fact that wrestlers have their own space to do it. I kind of like the NXT version of Carmelo because it looked like he went and they were having like the undisputed LeBron James conversation. And it's like, oh, by the way, fam, guess what's happened to me this week or whatever. It seems kind of weird. He's going to a barbershop to break the fourth wall. That to me is kind of odd. Like, why would you commute to do that? You know what I mean? But I like the idea.
It's multitasking. Look, while I'm getting my hair cut, I'm just going to cut a promo, save some time. It's probably a 4-hour work week thing. Carmelo Hayes strikes me as a 4-hour work week guy. Dylan with an interesting comment here. Andrade looked like he got his haircut done a few days ago. He has zero right to get his hair done twice in a matter of days.
You're going to turn him away at the door? Oh, sorry, mate. You're too fresh. What?
Too clean.
Yeah, What he especially anyway.
How you go into a look, nothing more disrespectful, by the way, than having a nice clean haircut and then going into a different barber shop.
Oh yeah,
it's rude. Absolutely. It's like bringing your own food to a restaurant. It's rude.
I mean, if no one notices, you know. Sometimes you go to like these like burger joints and they're like, we don't do ketchup. And I'm like, what? So I smuggle my own.
Don't do ketchup at a burger joint.
That's what I'm saying. And or worse, it's ketchup in a thimble. And you're like, I need six of these. And
so those paper thimbles.
Yeah, I bring my own. I smuggle my own ketchup to a burger joint. I'm proud of it. It's a free country.
Dylan, absolutely. Jack knows his best hair in Southern California. Most people would say a bigger region than Southern California, but I get where you're coming from.
No one would say this. Never.
I mean, I'm famously known for my hair.
Who? Name two people that know you for your hair. It's two. Give me two.
Dylan Matthews and Killer of Demons in the chat right now.
Oh, come
Danny
on.
Cochran.
Fire Pro.
So we move on to a six-person tag match. Isla Dawn, Alba Fire, Blair Davenport versus Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi. This was absolutely a night of we kind of knew how this was going to turn out matches, but
bad really? Guys. I was surprised.
Were you really?
With the result, yeah, I was.
Well, just for folks who maybe haven't seen SmackDown, bad guys target Bianca Belair. Eventually, Jade Cargill gets in and hits all the best finishers in the game before Naomi comes in and gets the win. Jade Cargill wrestles like my creator wrestler. Have you noticed this chokeslam, powerbomb, everything?
Do the people know about your creator wrestler being a level 100 and totally being unfair?
I build myself as accurately as possible.
That is not accurate at all. Although your hair doesn't move in the game, so I guess that is pretty accurate.
My hair is helmet rock hard. So
I was surprised at the result.
I got my stats have to be 100 for any head damage because this thing will protect me in a car accident.
You got to see this guy on 2K, man. It's hilarious. I make him lose every time I use him, so it's kind of fun.
But it takes a long time to beat my character. With
not that, really. What you do is your legs are so weak because you know you can't lift up anything, you know, because you're kind of a wimp. This match here on paper, I thought it was going to be, yeah, of course, you want to have Bianca and Jade and Naomi roll through. But remember last week, Naomi lost super clean as a whistle to Blair Davenport. So I thought it was going to be that's going to play and say, oh my gosh, in two straight weeks, Blair Davenport got the best of Naomi. I got the opposite. Now Naomi pinned Blair Davenport and that story can go on in its own direction. So that part was surprising to me.
So I thought it was pretty cool. Beer Money's pointing it out here. The three women had, the big three had Simone Biles inspired gear tonight, which was pretty legit. I think that was a pretty cool. I was thinking about how. And now we're wrestling fans. I don't know if Simone Biles is a wrestling fan, but
she will be now.
How flattering to find out that three wrestlers are all dressed in different versions of stuff you famously wore. What a cool supportive thing. What a cool shout out. What a cool little Easter egg. I love that, Flobo. This was, to me, that was a 100% great, cool thing they did.
Talk about athletes in peak physical condition. I mean, that's why don't you do it? Because it's funny because I didn't realize at first. I'd be the first one to admit that. I was like, why is Bianca wearing that like, because it's so opposite what she usually does. Then when I saw the side by side, I'm like, oh, that's genius. That's effing genius. I love it.
Yeah, I just got to say, we've got a lot of stuff. You know, Danny Cochran says Jack's hair is legendary throughout the Pacific Northwest. It's very not. True. Thank you, Danny.
No, I was there. No one knows.
Killer Demon says Jack hair is slick like slick Ric Flair. It's absolutely true. And Dylan says Jack's hair is more rock hard than Juice Robertson. So
why is your hair getting over on a Friday night? This is so weird.
It's all true. It's part of who I am. But my favorite part of this match, though, I mean, I did like the shout out to Simone, but Wade Barrett quoting Taylor Swift. Did you catch that?
I did not.
He said, she's a nightmare dressed like a daydream. And I was like, Wade Barrett.
Oh, he did say that. Yeah. I didn't put two together. He did say that. Yeah.
Wow. Beer Money says Jack's favorite musical is Hair.
Stop doing this. No, I refuse.
It's not just that it's my favorite musical, but Hair's favorite hair is my hair.
You know what? As a guy who's been bald for like 20 years, to hell with all of you, with your follicles and your locks.
This is my serious question for you here, Flobo. Serious question about this matchup. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi, they're super dominant. In fact, we've talked a bit about them possibly being overpowered in a tag team division like what WWE has going right now for the women's division. Did the bad guys here do enough to make you believe that they're on the same level as the big three?
No. You're right. Jade is so dominant that I can't think of any combination, maybe even the Pure Fusion Collective, that can even look on a poster toe-to-toe. This is kind of like an even keel. And so you have to go to Result of Trickery. You know what I mean? So that's totally fine. I think they're better for it now. I actually want to see more of Isla Dawn and Alba Fire and Blair Davenport, because now they're no longer doing the spooky thing. I want to see more of them. So I guess they seem more solidified, but I don't think they have any more of a chance after this week.
Yeah, I've always said I love the big three, but man, I just, no one looks like they can hang with those three. They're just so overpowered. Yeah, I know everyone said everyone's got to love them. So me saying they should break up is like sacrilege to a lot of people. But I just, they're just too powerful. They're too good.
To be fair, if it's the three of them, you can prior on Naomi, because Naomi has the worst win loss record of the three of them. So I would say that. So they are beatable.
Jade and Bianca as a tag team, who's beaten them? Like who gets in the ring with them makes you go, yeah, I think that that looks like a, like they have a good chance.
Yeah. I can't think of any current iteration.
Yeah, it's a current. I mean, obviously we could fantasy book different teams together, but right now there's no one that I'm like, man, they look like they could stand.
If George were here, George and Mosey, probably the Jumping Bomb Angels could probably take them down. But yeah, I can't think of anyone on the roster now, unless you're doing some things where you're like combining future, like, oh, if Julia came back and tagged with Asuka, maybe, but it's not going to work.
Right. And even then, Julia is not known in WWE, so it'd just be kind of like a, I mean, she's great, but we don't, like, you know the drill. You got to, like, we got to figure out who they are first.
This is what you asked for. And not you specifically, but the people. Oh, man, Jade's here. They with Bianca. And this is what you're getting. So
people love them, though. So maybe they're getting what they like. Killer Demon says, I think we'll finally see the turn of Bianca or Jade at the pay-per-view. The PLE. Dylan says, this is the best the tag women's division has ever been, minus the Iconics, of course.
Iconics!
So good, man. What a shame they're not there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Dylan's a big Billy Kay fan.
Aren't we all? Ricky Sinclair says, Jade and Bianca has got to be building to a WrestleMania match. Goodfellow says Nia and Tiff. That possibly could be.
It would be, but she's the queen and the champ.
And Jose says, Tony the Tiger said Jack's hair looks great.
I don't know what's worse, you posting the Mets Padres score or that stuff. It's just, even makes me sick equally.
Fun fact, Lee Marshall, former commentator for WCW for a while, did the voice of Tony the Tiger.
Oh, wow. Didn't know that.
I am a late period WCW historian.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, let's talk about the Bloodline and the Street Profits. Solo says that Roman is done and he's got next for the WWE title. Then he tells Jacob Fatu to give the tag title to Tongaloa because Fatu is now a bodyguard, a personal enforcer is the specific name. Match boils down to Jacob Fatu attacking the Street Profits and helping the Bloodline get the win. Post-match during the Bloodline beatdown, DIY makes the save and Fatu wipes them out so Solo can put on the final touches. Later, the Street Profits and DIY are in the medical area and Indy and Candice LeRae go in to check on them. So a lot of things happen here. I want your thoughts on the match, but also, and there's a few things we're going to talk about here, so don't you worry. My first question, though, is Fatu seems injured. Like, it might be a bit of a time before he's able to wrestle again. was this a clever way to get the title off of Fatu? Or do you dig it, or do you feel like this is, you're not a fan?
I think it would have worked last week. I think the fact that we saw him, Fatu, with the boot last week and saw him come out wobbling on that boot this week and him going, oh, you're now my enforcer, makes no sense because you see him on one leg. That, to me, that happened backstage. That happened in the car on the way to the arena. It would have been fine. The fact that the timing was off. But the match itself was actually pretty good. Street Profits, we were talking about them, are in the best shape of their careers, but at the same time, don't seem as cold as they ever were on their careers at the same time. So they're like primed to go on a run, and this one looked like it was, but we kind of knew going into this, there's no way they're beating the Bloodline. But the way they got beat down leaves a lot to be desired. And the team they beat last week shows up to save them?
Yeah. I was pretty bummed out about this because I'm a big Street Profits fan, and it to have them lose another opportunity and then to get saved by DIY, who isn't currently the hottest tag team in wrestling right now, with all due respect to DIY, to me, it just makes me go, I don't know what's next for the Street Profits here. I got a question for you, Flobo, and I was debating whether or not I want to ask this question. It's gonna fire people up.
If you ask about shampoo or conditioner, I am logging off. I swear. So help me.
Well, Killer Demons does say we don't follow our nose like Toucan Sam. We follow Jack's hair. Absolutely.
E2 KOD. E2.
Which is true. Julian Floyd has a great comment that I'm gonna get to after this, but I do appreciate that. So this is the question, Flobo, and God, the world's going to hate me. I'm going to get in so much trouble for this, but
you,
we see certain people on Twitter. We hear about them on Twitter all the time about how they are, quote, wasted, how they are, quote, buried, how they should, quote, go somewhere else. All these things, these names come up all the time. The Street Profits last held championship gold on August 1st, 2021.
Wow.
Since that day, Keith Lee, FTR, Ricky Starks, Wardlow, Powerhouse Hobbs, Scorpio Sky, Buddy Matthews, Malakai Black, Lucha Brothers, and Miro have all held championship gold. My question to you is, what is WWE doing differently that keeps the Street Profits out of similar conversations?
Wow, that's a very deep cut. I will say this. To the Street Profits' credit, on Raw in that time, there was a bit of that tease of Montez going solo, and he had some showcase matches when he was solo. Then came the draft over to Raw, and they were teasing a heel turn. It wasn't quite a heel turn, but it was kind of like, what's going on? And then they paired him with an actual former champion in Bobby Lashley. So I do think, I won't say the storyline was fresh, because you're right. You can't argue the numbers. They haven't held gold in 3 years, but it was always a little bit of an ember to a flame. Is this the start of something big? Will Montez go on a single run? Will they become heel? What's going to happen? They've all fizzled out now. And I think now, after this, after getting beat to the end, to the point where their manager's like, they're fine. Don't look at them, but they're fine. I mean, I think that conversation is going to start coming up this weekend.
It's, yeah, man, because it's so weird. A few years ago, these were two guys that we were talking about having, you know, world title aspirations, like major face of the company superstar status. And now, I mean, they still have all the charisma and talent in the world. Like, they're still those guys, but like, it's just, it is tough when you look at that win-loss record and to have to come back. Like, I can't get excited about another tag team title shot because they've had a bunch of them over the past 3 years. And I know some people are saying maybe split up, but I don't really know if there's a lot of opportunity in singles divisions right now either.
I think that's it. I think they teased both of them and they got cold feet both times.
But you do make a good point because there is, whether or not it's work, they have done different things. Like, it's not like they've just kept doing, like, we're just the same Street Profits. They have had the draft. They have tried separate things. They have, yeah. So you're, I think that's a good answer, like, as to why their names don't come up in this. But I do think that, man, something's got to happen with the Street Profits, because these guys are too talented to keep ignoring.
Yeah, that's what happens sooner or later.
Dylan Matthews says, is Wrestling Inc. paying Jack enough to drop all these facts, let alone is his hair budget enough? Let me tell you, that hair budget's never enough. Never enough. I mean, come on. A lot of people are saying Street Profits to TNA.
I guess. I mean, it's not a bad idea, but it doesn't, that doesn't solve the problem, right? It doesn't solve, is this team past their prime? Have we moved on as a fandom for these guys? Do we still have love for these guys? It cannot be solved by just going to another promotion. It can almost never be solved by going to another promotion.
Yeah, it's also, you know, why TNA instead of NXT at that point? I mean, I think it's never a good idea when it's like, why don't we put them in front of a smaller audience?
Yeah. This is a thing that really that grinds my gears at wrestling fans, but they just think that, hey, look, it's not working, just move them. And yes, it can work going from Raw to SmackDown, SmackDown to NXT, NXT to AEW. It can work sometimes, but if you're missing something, then it only gets exemplified when you don't have the other people around you in your roster, no matter which way you go.
Yeah, and it all always shakes out. The truth exposes itself at some point that, like, it doesn't matter, you know, because you look at LA Knight, for instance. He was a huge star in NWA. He was a huge star on NXT. He's a huge star now. Like, you know, Cody Rhodes, huge star in Japan, huge star in AEW, huge star in WWE. Like, and I'm not saying they're not huge stars, but we got to find something's got to happen. If it's just they're good and they win, that runs dry very quickly.
Absolutely.
Alicia A with a good point here. Once they paired them with Bobby and flip-flopped heel babyface, that hurt them as well. I still hope good things come from this, and I still hope that they turn it around. But for now, last part of the show, Flovo. Last thing to cover.
Already?
Meechan is proving people wrong, and Nia Jax is talking to the people of her court. That's what we're calling it. And Chelsea Green and Piper Niven are talking crap. I thought this backstage segment covered a lot of fun. I thought this was a fun, silly segment here. I enjoyed it.
Oh, backstage was great. The Meechan stuff was kind of weird, but the backstage was great because Nia seems a lot more poised as queen, and Tiffany's trying to help him out. There's still that tease going, and you get Pretty Deadly on TV. Win, 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 win. Chelsea gets to be Chelsea. I loved it, top to bottom. But that Meechan, can we talk about that?
Yeah, how she ruined Tiffy's party.
Let's talk about that. I mean, the whole backstage, like, yo, man, my whole life they said I couldn't be doing stuff. I'm like, no, you didn't. Yeah, no one gave me opportunity. You got opportunities. Hey, you know, I'm tough. We know you have a kendo stick. We saw you swing it last week. It's like, what are you doing? Who's holding you down, lady?
Yeah, it was very, you know, I texted you, but I'm just gonna say it felt very like 2002 Pink music video.
Yeah, I'm misunderstood. Okay.
Yeah, misunderstood. That's right.
All right. Yeah.
You know, but you're right, Meechan. Like, she always beats people up. This is where, but it's kind of like to what you were saying before, Flobo, about how it's very, you know, maybe like Escobar needs some video packages. Maybe this is what Meechan needs to sort of rebrand herself. It seems like she's separating from the OC here, but I'm fascinated by the dynamic of Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton. I think this is a really fun dynamic with the Money in the Bank, but they're friends. Is Tiffany Stratton going to become a good guy by cashing in the way this is playing out? Do you think that's what they're going for?
That's a possibility, but I want her to go the full Dominic Mysterio and be a heel and turn even more heel. Because I do think the internet is coming around to Nia Jax. This whole thing of like, hey, we're starting to respect what she does, best work of her career, oh, she ate or whatever. I don't know how people say that on the internet, but I think people are liking Nia Jax now. So imagine being a queen and just saying, look, all I wanted was to wrestle for you and have a crown that was broken, and you took that from me. I think you can get people to get behind Nia Jax in a face turn.
Interesting, but she's being a bully here, though. Does that?
I think when you're a bully, it's very easy to turn that switch into, hey, why did you wrong me? I was just someone that just liked to take charge and be assertive. I'm no bully. I'm the good guy here. A lot easier.
Dylan Matthews says, Tiffany Stratton as a face would definitely work. You can thank Australia for that. Don't thank Perth.
Never thank Perth.
Yeah. Perth.
21 hours to get out there. And then what? They have a statue called the Cactus, and it doesn't look like a cactus.
What does it look like?
It's like a green abstract Nickelodeon thing. I was like, what's that? Oh, it's a cactus, mate. What? You want a Tim Tam? I'm like, no, explain that.
I drove out here for my love of cacti. And I
did. 21 hours on the plane. And the one thing you have, no one in the world has, is an abstract picture of a cactus. Look it up, y'all. I'm not making it up.
I wish you got a picture next to it. Jose with an interesting point, though, says, hey, yes, boy, that's Jack's cool. Hair.
No, it's actually
so it's how devastating would that be to the population if they found out that this wasn't real hair? By the way, I was off for a week and I saw the comments, people saying Jack's going to Turkey, Jack's getting some hair work done. Listen, that trip may be coming someday, but it's not today. Not wow. Yet.
Are you cutting a promo in Turkey? Look here, I'll be here soon, but not tonight.
I'm going to save it for the pay-per-view.
2027, brother.
I'm going to go. Because when it happens, I'm going to fight Flobo. I'm going to fight. Hey,
the battle's finish. Been long lost for me. So respect for those of you who are holding it down.
So that's the show, Flobo. We covered it all. We got through it all. Everyone in the chat, let me know in the chat if you thought our new ranking system, as some of you know, is not out of 10. It's not good or bad. It's not thumbs up, thumbs down.
I saw this.
Was this show on fire right now? Or is this show living under a rock?
That's the only options.
Flobo, was this show living under a rock or was it on fire right now? And where can the world find you online?
The show had a lot of flaws, but you know what? At the end of the day, Friday Night SmackDown is after a long, hard week of work. Grab some pizza, plop on the couch, get 2 hours of wrestling. I'm going to say fire right now.
And On Kay says, what happened to Issa and LaBar? LaBar is on every single Monday with me and Jimmy Corderas. We form Triple J, the flagship show. Issa is now focusing on her own platform. You should follow her on Twitter so you can keep up to date with all the stuff she is working on. Danny Cochran says, would be awesome if Jack took his headset off and the hair went with it.
That was kind of scary, actually.
like the whole the sides and everything, it just comes off. Ugh,
that's kind of like a Lego piece. That's kind of gross.
But here's the swerve. It comes off and long, luscious locks come out. And it's like that's Jason Momoa cruel. Hair.
That's just cruel. like a natural blonde underneath. Yeah.
Right. how come everyone's asking where people are? What's wrong with us, Jose? Where's Glenn? Glenn just took the week off. I don't know where Glenn is. I heard the seashell and I came. I didn't even know it was going to be Flobo until about 2 hours ago.
He did do that. It's like, I'm here every Friday. Hey, you go here tonight? Yes. I'm the SmackDown host. I'm not here next week. I'm out next week, but I'm here tonight.
Low Vision saying show is fire. It's on fire right now. Dylan says Glenn's probably on the strip of Vegas. Maybe. I have no idea where he's at. No one knows. If you see him, call us. Let us know.
Please, is he okay?
I think that this episode was on fire right now, Flobo. I thought it was fun. It did its job. It was a good time. I want to thank everybody, by the way, who's in the chat with us, whether it's KOD or Ricky Sinclair calling us the dynamic duo, whether it's Dylan Matthews, the Jif King. Is it GIF or Jif? I always confirm it and then I forget it.
You know what? I'm not going there. I have my choices, but I'm not going to say.
What's your choice?
It's Jif, because the guy who made GIFs calls them GIFs, but people get really mad and go, it's a GIF.
GIF sounds right.
GIF is right. It literally is correct.
That's what I would call it. GIF. Yeah, GIF is GIF. Is jarring,
right? And so people say, what about peanut butter? It's not peanut butter. I go, yeah, when you see a giraffe, you let me know, bro. And I guess it'd be a whole thing.
But you know, it's not peanut butter, but peanut butter is delicious. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. And you can see what I'm working on. The next thing I'm working on, covering all in right here on Wrestling Inc. with Flobo. We're going to have a long conversation after that show. Let me tell you, lots of stuff's going to go down. We may be talking about Ricochet debuting. We may be talking about Bobby Lashley debuting. We may be talking about, I don't know, just a ho-hum show, a great show. I don't know. We'll have to see. You'll have to be there. But also, I am going to be doing commentary for Santino Bros Fight Night on Thursday next week. You can check it out for free on YouTube. Why wouldn't you? It's free. We have the winner of the LA Rumble, Alec Tomas, is challenging the champion, Slice Boogie, for the title. It's all on the line. You got to tune in to see it. I'm going to be on the call, so you'll hear me saying things like, what a maneuver.
Oh, great. No wonder it's free.
Oh, and Julian, I forgot to say this. Oh, my God. I said the ladies of Metaphor are the only ones that look like they can hang with Jade and Bianca. That's actually a good call there, Flo, but what say you?
I say, yeah, but they have to get some wins on their own first. But yes, that's a post that sells.
Yes, I like it. Dylan Matthews wishing the hair good night.
Stop it, Dylan.
Wishing you good night as well, Dylan Matthews. That does it for us. We're going to end the stream. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review, and make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. End stream.
Let's go, Mets.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.